You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Whatamooli and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee Harding and it's that time of the week again where we get to check in and yarn all things science and technology with Wiradjuri woman and journalist Ray Johnston. Welcome back to the program, Ray.
Thanks for having me, sis.
Lovely to have you back again. Now, first cab off the rank today, a first of its kind study reveals the impact of being Indigenous and LGBTIQ+.
Yeah, that's right, sis. It's out of Edith Cowan University, and it's really highlighted the significant impact of racism and queer phobia and social exclusion on the lives of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTQI+ people. Now, the findings from this study is that almost 13% have experienced homelessness or housing insecurity, and just 45% felt a sense of belonging to a wider LGBTIQ+ community. 1.9% didn't disclose that they are an Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person when using dating apps because they feared discrimination. And you know, this is because more than 73% of the people involved in this study have reported discrimination, either sometimes, half the time, or every day. And this included being ignored and teased or outed, followed in public, or being victims of physical violence or other crimes. So rather than just document these feelings and findings, the report has some recommendations. And they include Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTIQ+ people having leadership on all of these matters and having inclusive health and support services that welcome Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people proactively as both clients and as staff as well, and ongoing professional development and training for organisations and staff at organisations from all levels so that you know, these kind of experiences don't continue. We need more anti-racism strategies and training, and we need greater representation of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander LGBTIQ+ people in social media campaigns and in parenting resources and just in general media and in leadership positions and on boards, just to be visible. And also we need some greater awareness of trans issues and some safe pathways for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander trans people as well. So it was a really important study to be done. Quite unbelievable that nothing like this has ever happened before and ever been studied before. And hopefully it can lead to some real change in these areas to make lives better for people.
Such an important study to reveal on our science and technology segment today. Now we go from talking about the impact of being Indigenous and LGBTIQ+ and that very important study to talking about dinosaurs, which is one of my favourite topics, Ray. Thank you for bringing this subject to us today. And you're going to tell us that dinosaurs may have been in decline 10 million years, actually prior to asteroid impact.
Yeah, before that big mass extinction event, 10 million years before that asteroid impact. So international researchers, so from all over, they've analysed 1,600 dinosaur fossils from six different dinosaur families. And they're saying that non-avian dinosaurs, so the ones that aren't birds, basically, they started to decline around 76 million years ago because they weren't adapting to changing conditions as the global climate began cooling. That was in the late Cretaceous period that was happening. And they also say that many of the herbivorous dinosaurs, the veggiesaurs, they were being outcompeted by hadrosaurs, which is those big duck-billed dinosaurs. So that further contributed to the decline as well. So there were many reasons why dinosaurs were on their way out, not just that big asteroid that we all know about now.
There you go. You learn something more each day. Thank you so much for educating me more about dinosaurs this week on our segment, Sis. Now we go from the decline in dinosaurs 10 million years ago to ancient bones that provide clues about Kangaroo Island's past and future. How so, Sis?
Yeah, this one's really fascinating. So it's a Curtin University-led study of ancient bones on South Australia's Kangaroo Island, and it's given us new information about the island's past fauna and an insight into how species might live there in the future. So they analysed around 2,000 bone fragments, and what they wanted to be able to establish was a more complete picture of the biodiversity on the island. And DNA studies on such a large scale have never been done on the island before. They identified 33 species, 10 of which are actually extinct now on the island today. And they also found DNA traces from both the eastern and the western grey kangaroos, which is really interesting because we previously thought that only the western kangaroos used to roam on the island. Mm. So this research, it also discovered an extinct population of spotted tailed quoll, which are different to both the modern mainland and the Tasmanian populations of quolls. So this indicates that it once lived on Kangaroo Island and maybe in other parts of South Australia as well. Now, we know that Kangaroo Island is a biodiversity hotspot and it's a natural haven for several threatened and endemic species, and it has been continually losing species richness, you know, since colonisation, you know, 200 years ago on the island. But from excavations of these fossil bones, we now know more about the species that used to roam the island before the human-caused decimation of the species. And this research was particularly important in the wake of the bushfires, the 2019-2020 bushfires, because they had a devastating impact on the island and on the island's ecosystem. So the researchers are hoping that their work in accurately identifying species on the island, it can help conservation and restoration efforts to help restore the biodiversity on Kangaroo Island, both as a result of, you know, colonisation and the bushfires. And we do need more research in this area, but the study has confirmed that Kangaroo Island could be a potential haven for the reintroduction of some species. So if a quoll population was to be introduced to the island, you know, it's essential to get a detailed picture of what the extinct quoll population looked like, so we know what we'd be looking at there. And the researchers also added the eastern grey kangaroo to the list of potential reintroduction candidates as well. So it's a really, really interesting project that's happening out there, and it would be really, really great to see Kangaroo Island used to help reintroduce endangered or endemic species.
Sounds like a really good story, Sis. Now we go from talking about ancient bones that provide clues about Kangaroo Island's past and future to talking about what's happening in New Zealand. And apparently New Zealand native frog surprises scientists by climbing up a tree. Now what's happening here?
Yeah, New Zealand's largest native frog. It's the Maud Island frog. Now it prefers to live on the ground of, you know, a big boulder, kind of strawn, leaf-littered landscape. Well, that's what they thought. That's what scientists thought. Mm. But now they've spotted some of the tiny little amphibians climbing and sheltering in trees in Wellington's Zealandia Eco Sanctuary. Now, the researchers say that they don't know why the frogs are climbing the trees, but the, you know, higher habitat option should be included when they're building environments for those in captivity or when they're choosing a location to release them into the wild. So it just goes to show that we can always learn more things about our native species, both here and across the ditch.
Gotta love that. Right here on our regular science and technology segment, Wiradjuri woman and journalist Ray Johnston, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the program again this week. Thank you so much, Sis.
Oh, anytime. Thanks for having me.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.